You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
And I'm Joe Iconis. And on today's episode of the Album Podcast, we're going to be talking about Haddonfield, 15 Years Later, for Judith. This is a tune that was inspired by the John Carpenter Halloween film series and the character of The Shape, aka Michael Myers. And you're going to hear all about that and more on the podcast.
This is a song that was not written for Smash, but did almost appear in Smash and was in the concert version of Hit List. As performed on the album by the great Jared Weiss, it is a song that you may have heard him sing in concert, but the album version, which we've been performing recently live, is huge and big and a showstopper and like you've never heard it yet.
Yeah, and I think that out of all of the songs on the album, this one definitely has one of the more interesting backstories. And so give it a listen. Find out.
Happy Halloween. It's not Halloween.
It is in my heart.
Neighbors still look the same. They peer from back behind a drape. To them, I do not have a name.
Haddonfield, 15 years later, for Judith.
Correct. One of the most cumbersome titles on
the record.
I didn't
realize this. You like the name Judith, because that's also a character in Love and Hate Nation.
I do. I love the name Judith. But this, the Judith in question is Judith Myers.
Yes, so I did different
not,
Judith.
I did not name her.
Right.
But yeah, so this song is a song that is, like many on the album, inspired by a film. And it's a horror film. And it is Halloween. And I wrote this song. I wrote it specifically for my Halloween concert at the Beachman. And I wrote it for myself to sing at the top of the top of the show. And
with a costume probably falling off of you or something.
With the costume falling off of me for sure. I don't remember what. Oh, I was a pilot. I was a pilot. For a few years of the Halloween show, my Halloween costume was whatever they had left over at the Penn Station Kmart the morning of Halloween.
Yeah.
And so that year I got pilot.
Makes sense.
And so Haddonfield is essentially told from the point of view of The Shape, aka Michael Myers, who has come back to Haddonfield 15 years after he murdered his sister and then was sent to an asylum. And it's not like I think Halloween should be a musical. It is not like, even if it was a musical, this is a song that would be in it. It's just sort of this idea of it's using the framework of Halloween and the character to you know, tell a story about someone returning home after a long time. And so, like, this is another song that feels like just as autobiographical for me as, you know, some of the ones that are about, like, musical theater writers writing,
sure.
You know? And so it's just this idea of, like, going back to the place where you're from. And, you know, in the case of the song, and in my case, the suburbs, returning there and having it feel the same but different,
mm-hmm.
You know, and after having sort of a seismic life change or event or something, and you go back and it's like, what are the things that you're still obsessed about and what are the things that have moved on without you? And mm-hmm. and the sort of, again, the kind of like the toll that, you know, nostalgia and and the, you know, looking back takes on the present. Mm-hmm.
One thing I love about the history of this song is that Josh Safran, who is someone we collaborated with a while back and who I love very much, this was a song when he was show running the second season of Smash and he discovered Broadway Here I Come and the Goodbye song, mm-hmm. put them in it. And, you know, that story has been well documented by you and I and other people elsewhere. But Haddonfield 15 years later for Judith was another song of yours that he really loved that mm-hmm. I know he tried to find a place for in Smash somehow,
yeah.
and it didn't ever really quite fit in to the plot that they could mm-hmm. use it for in season two of Smash. And then when we did Hit List at 54 Below as like a concert of like the fictional musical, mm-hmm. It was in it, and Krista Rodriguez got to sing
yeah.
Haddonfield
yeah.
as part of Hit List, which I think was something Josh wanted all along.
Yeah, yeah, and I love that he so responded to that song. Because it is, it's a, you know, it's such a weird one, this song, because as much as it, you know, it is about all the things that we're talking about, and it is about, you know, sort of returning to a place where you used to live and your relationship to it and the place's relationship to you, mm-hmm. It is also like literally about the movie Halloween. You know, it's like it really does work in both ways. And it's the, you know, the sort of what happens in the song is really, it's what happens in the movie where Michael Myers escapes from the asylum and he puts this mask on, a literal mask, and he goes to Haddonfield. And you know, the line, where he talks about the neighbors, you know, as they look at him, he says, you know, I'm not a man, I'm just a shape. Which, you know, literally in the world of Halloween, like the name of that character is actually the shape. That's what they call him. And so, yeah, so it was, it actually, like, Josh digging the song so much and relating to the song so much was one of the things that made me feel like, okay, what I'm trying to do is actually working. You know, like this
yeah.
thing, my intention with this, which wasn't just bullshit, was to actually write a real song that if you happen to know the movie Halloween, great, and could be excited about how it relates, but you don't need to in order to like get the song. Him like, you know, is like, okay, I think I'm doing something all right
yeah.
with this.
At some point we should have a Halloween though where we watch all the movies that you've written songs that are inspired by. Cause like
yeah.
I haven't seen half the movies either. Like to me, like Norman is my mm-hmm. jumping off point, you know, for it's
yeah, yeah.
it's great that they work out of context. Yeah, if you haven't seen the movie.
I think so, yeah. And I mean, I also like, you know, the movie, all of these movies inspire the songs, but you know, with Halloween especially, it's like the, you know, and the Halloween theme is obviously, you know, referenced in the sort of underscore of the song, the orchestration of the song. And the sort of lurking dread of that movie, I love that movie so much. And what I love about it is the way it makes the community feel simultaneously comforting and sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Half Halloween takes place in the daytime. It takes place Halloween day, and you sort of get the, like, you know, these teenage girls, they're in their car riding around and they're smoking pot and they can't let the dad see, and people are going to the market and they're shopping, and you sort of get this, like, this small town life that, even though we know it's a horror movie, you're sort of seduced by it, and it feels comfortable, and it feels really nice. And it, you know, when I look at it, it makes me, you know, it makes me nostalgic for, you know, my own, you know, high school experience, even though I did not have that high school experience. You know, I look at Halloween and I'm like, oh man, remember when we were just, you know, driving around? And it's like, I mean, I did drive around, but I didn't have that, but
yeah.
it feels like that. And then you see those same streets and those same houses feel like haunted houses. Like
yeah.
they, you know, it's the thing that's lurking under the surface comes to the forefront. And so that is, you know, in the song, it you know, it sort of starts in this bright way, and it feels like a song about, like, you know, like a college kid returning home or something. And then it gets gradually darker and darker and darker and darker until all of the stuff that used to, that did exist, you know, bubbling underneath the surface, by the end of the song, it's that's all there is. It's
right.
just the you know, we've like flip-flopped, and that's kind of why the end of the song totally turns into something else. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like there's a gospel choir at the end because it feels like this guy who's singing, that is what it feels like to him. You know, it's like that is what this whole thing has felt like. He's just one man. He's just, you know, just a shape, you know, wandering these streets. But inside of him, you know, he's got the power of 40 people, you know, scream singing and clapping and
right. Like they do at him in the performances. Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Do you want to talk about the performance on this track?
I do. Yeah, the performance by Jared Weiss is just one of my favorites. Jared is someone who I've known since he was a student at NYU. He went to school with a lot of people who I love and who I've worked with for many years, like Lauren Marcus and Will Roland.
He and Lauren were in the amazing John Simpkins NYU performance production of Merrily.
They were. Along. Yeah.
That was my first exposure to them, and they were amazing.
I mean, that's the first time I ever saw Lauren Marcus, and it's the first time I ever saw Jared Weiss. Like,
yeah,
I experienced them together. And, you know, Jared is such... He's such a character as a man, and he can do so many things. And something that I love about him is there's like a real tension to his performances because he is such a skilled classic musical theater performer in a way that is, I think, surprising because he, you know, Jared Weiss has like the best head of hair in the whole stinking world. And he plays guitar and he feels like contemporary. He feels mm-hmm. like, you know, you look at him and you're like, oh, this is like a cool sort of like rocker guy. Mm-hmm. But he's just like, he is like Mr. Musical Theater. Like he has this gorgeous, you know, tenor voice mm-hmm. and he can do legit stuff so well. And so he has that going on. And then he also is like a total loose cannon. And he has this like explosive stage presence and he's, you know, and he's sort of all over the place. So he's always in his performances, I feel like he's always so, you know, beautifully doing this dance of negotiating this really controlled musical theater performance and sound and idea with this like absolute, you know, wild human dynamite thing. And those two things coexist, I think, in most of the stuff he does, but especially in this tune, which just feels like, you know, the most appropriate for this character.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the end, I just love his like, you know, his laughs, you know, his like his maniacal-ish laughs. And that was something that we kind of came up with in the studio because the gospel choir, which is amazing, and I can't even believe that we have it on the album. And it's the gospel choir is arranged by the great Joel Wagner, who I've worked with on many projects, Broadway Bounty Hunter, and he arranged Broadway Bounty Hunter, and he was in Be More Chill, and he's a multi-hyphenate. Multi-hyphenate. And so his arrangements were just stunning and he came and conducted the choir and it's really unreal. But we knew we were gonna have this choir. And so it was like, which we don't really have in performance. We have people singing, but it's not quite as, you know, it's not as much of a moment as we knew we wanted to do for the album. And so it was kind of like, you know, Jared typically would just sort of sing over, but when you have like, you know, 30 voices singing, you know, very exciting, intricate harmony, it's like one lone voice isn't going to cut through. And so we were kind of like, what could you do? And I was like, you know, just sort of ad lib and maybe just talk a little bit and mutter and, you know, scream or something. And then we kind of found him doing this laugh. And I think it's it sounds like so many different things to me. You know, it succeeds as like a the laugh of a masked killer. It succeeds as the laugh of a bemused man, sort of, you know, feeling like this place where he's come back to is not, you know, not all that, right? It feels like the laugh of childhood that's echoing, and I think like all of those things kind of coexist over top this, you know, passionate, full-bodied gospel choir.
Yeah, it's such a like dangerous feeling and like explosive feeling performance and song live and also in the studio. But I just remember, and we haven't talked about this in a while, like Jared coming in to record and how crazy it felt for all of the performers that like, mm-hmm. not only had they not performed like a concert or really like with other people, but it was like, yeah. to do a song like this after like we had all kind of been locked inside, not performing mm-hmm. or doing anything. Yeah, he really like, you know, killed it, but it was a tall order. Like, for just not yeah. having performed in so long.
Yeah, no, I mean, the fact that these performances on this album sound as great as they do is, it's really amazing and just a testament to all these people, because it's like everyone was, you know, out of practice
right.
for a very long time.
I also like the laugh thing because it reminds me of like growing up and listening to cast recordings and being like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with how that person does that syllable. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
it's so funny. And just people picking up on the little moments.
Yeah. And you know, something that I really love about it at the end of the song is like it's so dense. There's so much going on. There's like almost too much going on, but in a way that I really wanted to do, because you know, typically in certainly in musical theater, and really in, you know, like my live performances, you try to, for the sake of clarity, to kind of boil things down mm-hmm. to their most necessary components, because, you know, if you have too much going on, it's hard to hear the lyric, it's hard to understand what's happening. Something that I love about recorded music is you don't need that clarity. You don't need to have things totally make sense on the first listen. And in fact, like many albums that I love are albums that reveal themselves over time, because just the, you know, by nature of what it is, you're supposed to revisit things. And the hope is that you hear more and more things the deeper you get into something, because the more you start, you know, you're familiar with this vocal line or this melodic line or something, that allows you, it frees you up to hear this other thing that's been happening the whole time. It's been right there, but you just heard it. And so there's lots of moments like that on this album where if it was on a stage, if it was a musical, I would want to strip it back and, you know, and simplify. But for the album, you know, there's a lot of moments where it's like more, 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 and then let people like piece it together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's the only thing I've ever worked on where it's like, there are moments where I intentionally, you know, we mixed it and added so it felt like people would listen to it and be like, what did they say?
Right.
Like, what just happened? Like, it's like, that's like, yeah, you
yeah.
know, I want that. And that's yeah, very much the case with this.
Very, very Lacusa Wild Party.
It's, yeah, yeah, you know, dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Pile it on. I do have to say, I have to pat myself on the back that I am, one of my favorite things in the song is the, at the end, or the almost end, he goes, until the night when she comes home to me. That's a reference to the tagline of the original movie, Halloween, which was the night that he came home.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah, and so I've always been really happy, I'm really pleased with myself that I was referencing not just the movie, but the tagline.
As you were starting
initial
that
campaign.
Explanation, I was like, why would that reference the last 5 years, which is what that reference is for me now that we're back here. But no, I'll have to learn more about Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween.
Haddonfield. 15 years later.
Poor Judith.
Yeah. Hey. Thanks so much for listening or watching to my podcast. Do me a favor and go to wherever you just listen to or watch this thing and subscribe or like or give us a great rating or review, and then head to bpn.fm/album to find out even more information about this podcast, more ways to watch, more ways to listen, and check out my album, Album. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Album Podcast is executive produced by Liz Armstrong, produced by Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Kim Garris, and the rest of the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Be sure to visit bpn.fm/album for both audio and video versions of this podcast and to listen to Album.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.